Hi, this is Jean-Jacques Taylor, and you're listening to Jot Talk. This is a podcast where I talk about the Cowboys, the team I've covered as a beat writer, columnist, TV insider, and radio host for 28 years. I'll also talk about the NFL and the things I love, working out, streaming, food, and all things Dallas. My boy Big Joe and the Big Rig, one of my oldest friends, produces the show and occasionally chimes in with his thoughts on the Cowboys. After all, he's a lifelong Cowboys fan, and he played high school, college, and semi-pro football. Welcome to Jot Talk, where sports is fluid. What's true today might not be true an hour, a day, or a month from now. I'm going to give you the truth straight. No chaser. Glad to have you aboard. Let's get it. Welcome to episode 89 of Jacques Talk. I'm Jean-Jacques Taylor, joined by my boy Big Joe and the Big Rig. We hope you are prepared to be entertained and dazzled for the next hour or so. What's the sit report, dog?
Well, you're going to get it right one of these days.
Hey, man. Hey, you know.
The light is red, and we are 5-by-5, my friend.
That's all I care about, you know. 89, who comes to mind? To me, it can only be the one and only David LaFleur.
Hell no. Hell no. How about Billy Joe Dupree? How about that?
All right.
David LaFleur. Yeah, no, no. First round pick out of LSU, 6'8", bad back.
Yep, never really petered drop. Had one good game against Cincinnati, caught 2 touchdown passes, and we never heard anything else.
They was comparing him to Tony. It was the same draft as Tony Gonzalez.
Yeah, it was, because they were hoping Gonzalez would fall to them, but he never had a chance to fall that low.
Roger
that.
So
they ended up taking LaFleur. That was the year Troy traipsed around the country working out players, which is really kind of funny if you think about it. Like, we don't trust our scouting department, so we're going to have Troy walk around and do our job. Interesting. But speaking of the Cowboys, let's give Clarence E. Hill Jr. a call. He's brought to you each and every Friday, Smokey John's Barbecue right there at 1820 West Mockingbird. Did you see the love that you got on Twitter or X yesterday, dog?
No diddy.
What does that mean?
Same thing as pause.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on, fellas?
What's up, man? How you roll?
Fine. What's going on with y'all this morning?
I don't know. I had to hit him with the stop sign already, but it's all good.
Oh.
Let's welcome Clarence E. Hill Jr. to the show. Longest tenured beat writer of the Cowboys in Dallas Fort Worth. The E stands for what, Joe?
Every time you say that slogan, I want to put your ass in a chokehold.
You know what? One don't have nothing to do with the other.
I don't know what slogan you're talking about now. So
I mean, it's Smokey John's Barbecue. The food is so good, it's love in your mouth. And he don't like that slogan. I thought it was great.
What you see that? See what I'm saying? I had to hit him with the no diddy.
Yeah.
You talking about what do that mean? It's the same damn thing as pause. It's what you need to do. Pause.
He don't know it. He don't keep up with current events.
Not now. He don't.
If you don't know what no diddy means, that's the new no homo.
Oh, is that what it is?
I told you, pause. The same thing as pause.
I mean, I don't even want to go down that road, because no good can come from going down that road.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're already going down that road. You've been going down that road.
That's the new colloquialism for no homo.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's, On another note.
Yeah.
I found this very interesting.
Yes, sir.
And it's this, that Don Van Adder, the investigative reporter for ESPN, who's damn good at what he does, is writing an unauthorized biography on Jerry Jones. Now, let me tell y'all how this works out there in podcast land. When you're doing a book like that, even if it's unauthorized, you can go to Jerry and say, Jerry, I'm doing this book on you. Love to talk to you. And Jerry can say, hey, I give you some time. No problem. Let's set up some meetings. Or he can say, hey, I really don't want anything to do with it, but good luck to you. Or he can say, I don't want you doing it. I ain't talking to you, and I'm telling all my people not to talk to you. And so my question is, which approach do you think Jerry will take with this book? Now, before you answer, I'm going to lay one more thing on there. I had the briefest, and when I say the briefest, I mean like 30-second conversation about would I be interested in writing a Jerry Jones book after I finished the Deion, the book on Deion Sanders that dropped in October. Right. And my answer to the publisher, I mean to the editors, were no, because one, to do that book right, you need about 3 years to do it, and to do it right, you need to have a real understanding of how to get court records and court documents, because right. if you're going to tell the story, you got to tell the whole story that Jerry don't want you to know about, and you can only get that through court documents to me. So now that I've given y'all that background, which approach do you think Jerry's going to take to this book?
Oh, I don't think Jerry's going to cooperate. I mean, you got to understand, Vannata's the one who's been writing a lot of the stories about his daughter, certainly about the stuff with both daughters, actually.
Right.
In regards to the Rich Dalrymple stuff. And he's written some other stuff before on the Cowboys. So I don't think he's in good standing with the Jones family.
Yeah.
And so I don't see Jerry cooperating.
Now, the problem for Jerry will be, one, he didn't talk to Vannata so much over the years that I'm sure he's got plenty of interviews, because people that investigative reports like that, they don't throw nothing away. He got plenty of interviews over the years. And the other thing is, because he's in the court system, he's going to get it all, and he's going to have your version of it in the court documents. And to me, you ain't even writing a story unless you're going knee deep in the court documents. And that's all the stuff we know about. And we all know that if you're talking about Jerry Jones, there's so much stuff that you ain't ever even heard about that got paid off that we'll find about.
Oh, there's no question. You know, those are some of the things I think about Trump. You know, there's a lot of stuff out there that we don't know. And especially from the 70s and 80s and the wild, wild west.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Jerry did have a life before he bought the Cowboys.
Yeah, it's all interesting, and you know, it could go in any different direction. And so it's like I said, you know, that's the type of book, you know, that a Vannata can write if you don't have to deal with Jerry on a daily basis.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, for you, say you're doing it, then, you know, depends on how the book comes out, you know, you may not be, you know, have the same privileges as you have going forward. Of course, you might make enough money for the book where you don't need them, but I mean, those are two different things.
Right.
You know,
right.
So, you know, those are, you know, that's why a lot of times people write books after they finish covering a team, or when they're outside of covering the team, you can write books on the team, but not when you're, you know, out there on a daily basis. It's just tough to keep those same relationships, you know, when you write books like that. If you're going to write, there's no reason to write it, you're not going to write the truth.
Correct.
So it's going to be interesting. Obviously, you know, Vannata is going to be a good book. It's going to be a thorough book. And, you know, it's going to take a fine tooth comb up Jerry's butt. No dick.
Yeah.
You know what? I have no words for that. Matter of fact, I'm just going to move on from that.
I mean,
well played, my friend. Well played.
Exactly. It's all on the same family. We stand in the same same arc.
Hey, Cowboys had a huge signing the other day. They signed a swing tackle. What do you think about that move?
I mean, really, we're doing this? Is this what we're doing? Juxtapose that with what the Texans did. So the Cowboys, you know, signed Chuma Adogo, who really basically a backup tackle who has no guarantees of making out of training camp on Wednesday, you know, just hours after the Texans make this blockbuster trade for Stephon Diggs, you know, in another example of a team going all in, you know, to win this year, you know, and the Texans are doing that. They, you know, you look at all the moves they made from their signings. I mean, you know, they are an example of a team that, hey, we were good last year. We took a step. We got a rookie quarterback. We're trying to make it happen. We're trying to win now. and the Cowboys, who Jerry Jones said we're all in, you know, they're shopping at the bargain bins again. You know, and look at all their signings. You know, they've only signed one outside free agent, you know, for $3 million, and everybody else has been getting a minimum salary or re-signing guys who are largely backups. I mean, they've only signed or re-signed one guy who is a projected starter. You know, and they lost at least four starters, if not five, in free agency.
Now, you know, I'm not one to panic. And I'm one to say, hey, we don't even know who's on the team yet. But I got to tell you, even if you look at the draft, there's not going to be no whole bunch of dudes you're going to sign after the draft. It doesn't look – if I have a hard time seeing how they're a better team next year than they've been the last couple of years. And I think that's my issue right now as I start to look at them.
Yeah, and that's the problem is that you look at what the Cowboys still have. They still have the best quarterback in the division. They still have, you know, one of the best receiver in the division. They still have one of the up-and-coming tight end. They still have the best kicker in the division possibly, or one of the best kickers in the division. The dude with the Eagles is very good. Still have the best pass rush in the division, possibly the best cornerback duo in the division. You know, they still have eight or nine Pro Bowls on this team. So this team is going to be competitive. But the question is, can they be better? Can they take the next step? And I think that they may, you know, you can see some Sam Williams of guys within where they can tread water and come up to the same level as they were last year, possibly if all things go right. But that was never the charge. You know, the charge in 2024 was Mike McCarthy on the final year of his deal, Dak Prescott on the final year of his deal, the whole coach staff on the final year of his deal is to get to the championship game or the Super Bowl. That's the charge, you know, for Mike McCarthy, certainly to keep his job.
Right.
You know, and how do you do that without improving your team? They are not better. You know, they can talk about, you know, around on drafted guys and development and second-year jumps. Yeah, that could possibly get you back to where you were. What makes you better? What makes you better fit, better suited to take the next step? Right. And they've done nothing to be better.
Like, when I look at last year, I go, they went and acquired Brandon Cooks, they went and acquired Stephon Gilmore, and then you said, okay, I see now how it could be better. But they haven't done that this year, and so it's like, as good as they are in the draft, you hate to get in a situation where you expect draft picks to play at the highest of levels, even if they first or second rounders. This team has a good track record of drafting them, so you expect a certain standard. But we saw last year it don't always happen like that, and so they haven't given themselves much of a safety net to be better. And I don't want to say it seemed like they just like it's whatever next year, but it sure got that feel to it.
Yeah, it's you know, I would hate to be in Mike McCarthy's position because you know here's a guy who's literally coaching for his job, and they're giving him less tools to work with.
That's a trip.
Those are the facts. He's coaching. And I know Mike McCarthy wanted to keep Hankins. I know Mike McCarthy wanted to keep Tony Pollard. I know Mike McCarthy, you know, was hoping that they would get the Dak deal done, you know, so they could clear the cap room to sign other players. None of that happened. Now they say, now it's on the coaches. You guys do it. You and Zimmer, you just out scheming with these guys. It's on you.
Now, Hankins didn't even cost that much.
I know. It's ridiculous. You know, I don't know. If you couldn't pay $2 million for Hankins, you wouldn't try. You know, so none of it. You know, they say they want to keep Hankins, but based on the contract Hankins got, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't add up. You know, one plus one is not two in that scenario.
No.
But getting back to the draft, I mean, it seems like they're putting a lot of pressure on Will McClay to hit home runs. And it's well documented the Cowboys have drafted well and Will McClay has drafted well, but you can't hit home runs. You know, you can't bat 1,000 in the draft. It's just not realistic. As you pointed out, look at last year's draft. You know, you can talk about the Tyler Smiths and all the other picks before that, but you should have expected more from Mozzie Smith. You didn't get it. And you didn't get anything from the second-round pick from Michigan either. You know, and that's part of the draft because there's no perfect drafts. I mean, you do make mistakes. Look at all the quarterbacks that have been can't miss prospects, you know, who are with other teams or fail. I mean, you look at, you know, the Trey Lance with the Cowboys now and what the 49ers did, a great organization who knows players and move, you know, make those trades to draft the guy in the first round and then get rid of him two years later and fall into a guy as Mr. Irrelevant, you know, which tells you all you need to know about, you know, the fickleness of the draft and draft picks.
That's a good way to put it, fickleness.
Yeah, it's fickle. I mean, there's no guarantees. It's like recruiting and everything. There's no guarantee that five-star going to be that five-star. There's no guarantee that first-round pick is going to be that first-round pick, you know. And so that's a lot of pressure. I've said all along, I like the way the Cowboys are drafting and develop team, but draft and develop alone does not win Super Bowls. You there's a reason why you have friends. You have to supplement what you do in the draft with trades, with free agency, other ways to improve this team. And they just basically punt in free agency every year. You know, and we give them credit for what they did last year, going to get Cooks and going to get Gilmore, but they gave us it was not like they really invested a lot.
Yeah, they still gave late-round draft picks.
Yeah, they didn't invest a lot. I mean, but yes, they made key moves to add to what they have, but I just told you how bad the receiving core was the year before, which was CD and a bunch of maybes, which I, you know, and listen, you know, it's ridiculous. What Mike McCarthy and what, you know, all the pressure, and again, at the end of the day, you know who's going to get the blame, Mike McCarthy and Dak Prescott.
Yeah, because at the end of every year, there's a scapegoat. It ain't never going to be Jerry. It ain't never going to be Steven. But at the end of the year, there's always a scapegoat. And that scapegoat gets fired, whether it was Kellen Moore a couple years ago or whether it was your boy Dan Quinn last year. Even though he got a job, he was going to have to get up out of here because somebody got to pay the price for the season that ended in disappointment. Now, Clarence, one of Clarence's talents is that he is the Zeke whisperer because he got a great relationship with Zeke's agent. What is this conversation about Zeke potentially coming back? Archer, we talked to him on Wednesday, and he tried to talk me into why it was a good deal. And I was like, I guess, man, but I don't know about spinning the block with Zeke. It seems like it's a backward move, although I guess I could make it make sense. The question is it what are the odds of him returning, and then what do you think about that move?
Well, the odds are high. You know, it's just a matter of when. There's interest on both sides. And, of course, as I always say, or Archie would say, you know, everybody's unemployed wants to have a job. So, anybody's interested in that, okay? So
he did mention that a couple times.
You know.
He did mention that.
You know, and especially when it's the Cowboys. But Zeke, his home is here. His parents have moved here. His sister went to SMU Law School. Yeah, Zeke would want to come back to the Cowboys. He didn't want to leave last year, you know, but he would want to come back to the Cowboys. You know, obviously, you know, whatever the role is, you know, it just depends on how much you pay. Again, the Cowboys are not paying a lot of money. You know, Zeke going to have to, you know, is he going to take the veteran minimum? He going to hold out and wait until somebody else calls? And, you know, we'll see, you know, but there is certainly some smoke there that's legitimate, that there's an interest on both sides. Whether the Cowboys wait till after the draft to do this, you know, remains to be seen. Again, there's still no guarantees he makes the roster in August if he does sign, you know, just because, you know, of his age and his position. Again, you're talking about a former two-time rushing champ who would be a part-time back and doesn't play special teams. So, you certainly have to carve out snaps and a role for somebody like that. He did average just 3.5 yards per carry. His yards per carry has continued to come down, you know, since his heyday. Why would it be a good move? Because the Cowboys could have used Zeke last year as a goal line back. You know, they could have used him. You know, he did score 12 rushing touchdowns the year before. You know, and one thing they were missing was that goal line back or that hammer, you know, on short yardage situations. The interesting thing to me is that, you know, I spent last week with Jerry Jones at the owners' meetings, and Jerry Jones – continue to hammer the cap, and the financial situations and what they have to go through and how they're paying guys who are no longer on the team, you know. And one thing that kept coming up in my mind is Zeke. Zeke is counting $6 million against the cap this year. And you talk whether he's on the team or not. So right. Now you're going to essentially, you know, just from a accounting standpoint, pay him twice.
That's such a Cowboys thing, though.
You know, if you bring him back, if you bring him back, you're paying him twice.
Let me interject here. One of the best quotes you ever had on this show right here is you said, fans don't give a damn about the cap. Y'all quit talking about the cap and let's do some damn thing. I always like that. And that's what get on my nerves about them. They just cap. We don't care about that, man. We just want, you know, we want you to do what you said you was going to do. Yeah. Last need to go all in.
Yes, and you're exactly right. And so from a, you know, it's just, you know, and I know it has nothing to do with nothing. You know, the Cowboys paid $100 million for Comstock Resources, you know, this other thing off the field. One reason why Jerry Jones just announced is, you know, I think the second richest person in the NFL, okay? Right. They got money coming out every hole. No Diddy, okay?
Yeah, he beating that horse to death. Go ahead.
You know, they got money coming out of every hole. But yet, when it comes to the football team, and it's understand one has nothing to do with the other. But from a Cowboy standpoint, fan standpoint, it's hard to reconcile the money you're making off the field with you not being able to pay guys on the field. It's hard to reconcile, you know, you so worried about balancing the budget, not wanting to kick the can in or not wanting to get the cap hell when you got more money than God allows. You know, and I understand from a business standpoint, you got to do things to make yourself solvent and efficient. And you know, you want to be able to run your organization in an efficient way. That sounds good. That's great. You've done that well, better than most. You know, right. You still have not won and been to the Super Bowl since 1996.
Damn.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
You know, you still have not been to the Super Bowl since 1996. You know, so, you know, your ability to be solvent and efficient with cash flow and the cap, you know, you want a cookie?
Yeah, we don't care. Yeah. Yeah, we tired of hearing that, man. As a Cowboy fan, I'm tired of hearing cap talk.
I am curious, man. What do you think their obsession with that is? Because there's an opportunity to win that you may not always have. And is it the fact that they try not to crater? They're okay with a down year if it's an 8-9, a 9-8 year?
Well, I mean, I don't think they're okay with a down year, which is the problem. Because if you're okay with a down year, then you will just blow it up and start over. You know, which if you want to really get out of the cap situation and be solvent again, you got to blow it up and start over. You know, but they're never going to blow it up and start over. You know, and Jerry don't want the empty seats at AT&T Stadium. You know, he wants to continue to be a competitive team. When he wants to continue to be on TV, you guys talking about him. I think he liked it. First of all, this whole thing is, Jerry may be playing us again. Because Jerry loves to be talked about. And I mean, look, last week there was more talk about Dak Prescott than Caitlin Clark last week on all those talk shows. Some people still got the Cowboys in their mouth. No Diddy. But I mean, but you look at, you know, whether it's First Take, whether that's all they are talking about, continually talk about it, continue to be conversations. And, you know, that Jerry guy, oh, he's gonna let Dak walk. Oh, he's gonna let Dak walk. And you know, Jerry might come in for a training camp in the season and sign back to the contract, and he got you again. So, because the more you talk about it, you know, the more it keeps his name in the limelight, the more, you know, people are interested in what's going on in the Cowboys, more keeps them in the headline news, more, you know, it just could cha-ching to the bottom line, I suppose. But at the end of the day, what does that have to do with it? Dak's going to be on the team, whether you sign to a contract or not. You know, CD's going to be on the team, whether he gets the contract extension or not, in 2024. Right now, There's nothing you can do to add to what you already have because Freddy's is over.
Right. You see any way that they don't draft a left tackle in the first round?
Well, it depends on who's there. I mean, you know, a lot of the guys who could be there, and many left tackles could be gone. You know, there's a lot of offensive line, but there's not a lot of, you know, the number of left tackles, I suppose, is not what you think it is. And certainly you're not going to get a Tyron Smith in the first round, you know, where they're picking. You know, Tyron Smith was picked in the top 11 for a reason. You know, but certainly that's the goal. It's going to be a tackle. It's going to be guard. It's going to be a center. It's going to be an offensive lineman for sure. You know, but they're also going to take a running back at some point. They got seven running backs who are visiting the Cowboys this week. You know, it's a primary focus to get a running back in. So we talk about Zeke, but the starting back will likely be somebody in the draft.
Right.
You know, you got Rico Dowdell. You want to add a veteran to the mix for sure. But, you know, they're focused on getting the running back. They're focused on getting the offensive lineman. Linebacker is another position that they're focused on getting in the draft. And certainly we know they could use another receiver and another cornerback and right down the line.
I think Field Yates from ESPN put out a mock. Any of the Cowboys trading out of 24, moving down. I saw somebody else's mock, who's I can't remember. They had the Cowboys moving down a couple of spots. It seems to me if you're trying to get a tackle, there's only a handful of left tackles on there that you're not necessarily moving down. I know all things are possible, but.
Well, again, as I was trying to say, it depends on who's available. You know, all the guys, like the kid from Georgia, has played nothing but right tackle his entire career. You know, do you draft him to play left tackle?
Hell no.
Okay, so, you know, it just depends on who the – I mean, there are a lot of offensive linemen, but they're not necessarily a lot of left tackles who are worthy of that pick depending on where they fall. You know, so you got to see, let the draft come to you and see what's available. And then, you know, if no left tackle is there and the center is gone or whatever else, and, you know, you're certainly not taking a running back there. Do you want to take another first round receiver, cornerback? You know, you may move down to add to your chances to get somebody else, you know, get a higher second round pick, higher third round pick, you know, just to add to your heart because you need players. I mean, you look again, because of what the Cowboys did in free agency, they only have seven draft picks. You know, they could add, they certainly, most certainly could want to add to their draft haul.
Right. I get it. As we shift topics here, you know that everybody, the Dallas Mavericks are one of the hottest teams in the NBA. The Dallas Stars, for those of you who like hockey, are one of the hottest teams in the NHL, tied for the league lead in points in the President's Cup. Do you miss that excitement with Dallas Cowboys? Because these other teams are making moves and positioning themselves for championships.
Are you going to forget the Rangers?
I mean, I haven't forgotten the Rangers. That was kind of understood.
Okay, well, I'm just saying.
But the other teams are getting ready for the playoffs, and the Rangers are just starting.
But they're coming off a championship.
Yeah. But, I mean, and those teams, you know, at least the Stars and the Rangers are really built to win for a minute. I can never figure out what the Mavs, because, you know, they fluctuate quite a bit, but – they could be, I don't know about the Mavs long term. I know the Rangers.
They
were
in the cover title game 2 years ago. We forget that almost.
I ain't forgot it. They just, Mavs fortunes to me depend on Kyrie. If Kyrie's going to hang around for another 2 or 3 years, then they're going to be in the mix. If not, they'll kind of go back to what they were, which is a slightly above average team with a superstar. But does it seem weird that everybody else seem like they got a championship plan? And the Cowboys seem that – I don't see the plan. Like, the plan could not work. You could take a shot and the plan not work, but I don't even really see their plan.
You know, it's funny because I would say that going into the playoffs last year, most people thought they had a shot.
Right.
You know, they were the second seed.
Right.
You know, we forget they were the second seed. They got upset. They were the second seed. They had it was their best shot to get to a championship game than they've had in a long time.
Correct.
And so I think there was some sort of excitement surrounding that. The problem is that the gut punch after the loss, it makes it seem like, you know, there's a thought process that Cowboys suck and have sucked. And there's been no hope.
That's incorrect.
I know that's my point. That's incorrect. They've been contenders. You know, they've been perennial contenders. They won more games the last 3 years than anybody except the Chiefs.
Well, that's 12 that's
and 5, 12 and 5, 12 and 5. I know it don't mean nothing.
That'd be called the division suck.
It don't matter. Well, the everybody sucked for years.
Yeah, but I'm saying you can stay mediocre and still win. You beat the Giants twice and beat the Redskins twice. And then get your ass out the division and get mollywopped.
They're not the only team who play in the bad division.
I know, but I mean, I'm talking about my team. I'm talking about the Cowboys.
I understand that, but my point is just to say the division sucks. Well, the NFC West sucked last year. Then nobody go 12-5. Okay. The AFC West, I mean, South sucked. I mean, not the West. The NFC South sucked last year. The AFC South sucked last year. You know, they all didn't go 12-5. I mean, you still have to, same thing,
different day. Go 12-5 again, get your ass kicked in the playoffs, and it's all good.
I understand. I'm just saying, though, they have been contenders. They have been contenders. So the idea that they haven't had a plan, haven't been contenders, I think is wrong. The problem is that there's no belief in them. You know, the disillusionment.
Yeah, I think I just said that.
I was asking Josh's question that just opposed to what he was talking about with the Mavs and the Stars, right, and the excitement surrounding what they're doing. And, you know, so I think that there have been contenders. It's at this point that nobody believes they're going to do anything.
They were contenders last year. I don't think anybody's disputing that.
Yeah.
But as you move into the next season, there doesn't appear to be a real plan for this team that's coming up. Like, okay, I get last year, but the lack of a plan is what troubles me. Like, you know, I don't know what they're doing. And so if you don't know what they're doing, that leads to what you just said. How can I have faith and belief when I don't know what you're doing? Unless we're talking about religion, which is all based on just faith and hope.
Yeah, you know, as Bill Parcells said a long time ago, you know, potential is based on demonstrated ability. You know, what's the demonstrated ability to do more than what they've done? You know, we don't know what they can do. And I think it comes from how the season ended. The Cowboys still don't know what happened against Green Bay. They're still outside their minds on how they can go and put a performance like that. And everything they've done in the offseason explains that they just have no idea how to move forward and take it to the next level. And certainly, you know, Jerry's talked about, you know, the cap and the money and how they're constrained by that. And certainly they're internally, they're trying to be positive regarding the guys they do have come in. As I pointed out, you know, this is not a team without players. It's not a team without talent. It's not a team that can't contend based on what they have. They're going to be competitive. You know, just from an outside standpoint, there's no hope that these guys have not shown an ability to uplift lesser teammates.
You know what they don't have, dog? I'm not really breaking news, but I don't think we've talked about it in this context. Real talk, why did the Rangers win the World Series? Why are they champions? Because guys like Nate Eovaldi and Corey Seager were like, yo, and Aroldis Garcia, at the moments where that mattered, they're like, hey, don't worry about it. We got this thing. Jordan Montgomery. Those guys, while everybody else was trying to figure out what to do, at the biggest moments in their games, they delivered the biggest hits or the biggest plays. And when the Cowboys have been in the playoffs at the biggest moments in the games, their best players have delivered virtually nothing. And I think when we just sit back and think about it, that's kind of like the difference. You know, your best dudes, we've said, have got to perform, but they've gotten, you know, either average or less than average performances from their three or four best guys. Whereas if you look at Rangers, almost all of their best guys performed at the highest level when it mattered most.
Right. And best guys, best coaches, and coaches put them in position to do that. I mean, one of the things that's most disheartening to the Cowboys, just from my conversations, is the defense. And then we're going back to Dan Quinn. And you know, we can talk about Dak all we want to. But they really felt that they were going to get back in the game in the second half. And the fact that the defense got no stops in the third quarter is just they're just mystified.
Yep.
They could not get back in the game in the third quarter. You know, Mike McCarthy thought that, hey, we're going to have a chance. We'll go down there and score. We're going to have a chance of going overtime and tie this game up in the last possession. And the fact that they could never stop them is something that that does not sit well.
Yeah, we talked about it all year because they was front runners all year. You know, the Cowboys was a front running team all year.
No, there's no question about that. I'm just talking about that game though. The offense got it together and battled back to put some points on the board, and they were hoping that defense would at least
bow up. Something.
And they did not bow up at all.
No.
You know, the quarterback had a damn near perfect quarterback rating. Running back ran through holes, you know, like Emmitt Smith back in the day. You gotta stop something.
Yeah, no doubt. Before we get up out of here, what are your thoughts on the tournament thus far?
I mean, which tournament? Because I'm more excited about the women than the men.
And I almost got you. I was really talking about the women's tournament. But I mean, I almost got you.
You know,
even though number one seed Texas fell, it's still been a good tournament.
No, it's been a great tournament. And just Texas was number one seed, but they was, you know, a dark horse anyway. I mean, the stars have prevailed outside, you know, NC State. But, you know, you the Angel Reese's and Caitlin Clark's and Juju and Paige Buckets, and you know, they showed up, and that's why, you know, things like I was telling, you know, I was talking to my coworker Mac Engel about this the other day. Like, you know, listen, the midterm is gonna be exciting because of the upsets and there's a great story what North Carolina State is doing with my man DJ, Big Boy, everybody loves that. DJ but we didn't know that dude's name. We didn't know that dude's name until 2 weeks ago.
Yep. That's what I like about the tournament. It's always a star is born sometime.
Okay, it is born, but we didn't know about that dude's name until 2 weeks ago, you know. But these women have built a platform over the last 3-4 years. And they are household. And look at social media impressions, look at, you know, everything else, the Paige Buckets, you know, Caitlin Clark, you know.
Alisa Peely in Utah.
Andrew Reese, we know them.
Audie Crooks.
We know them going into the tournament. This is why they have the most ratings. I mean, everybody gets excited about the LSU Iowa rating, which was the most ever. But the UConn-USC game was higher rated in Elite Eight than the UConn men's team in Elite Eight, and the men's are defending national champions.
Go figure.
The men are defending national champions, and the UConn women had a higher rated game on TV than the men in the Elite Eight. And it's going to be the same in the Final Four. I just think the women are going to, you know, there's more interest in the women's game. You know, and right now they're stars and people you want to see. Yes, the average basketball, the regular basketball fan would love, you know, they're going to watch the men's tournament, but the average Joe, people on the street, it's like people are watching the women's tournament because those women are household names that you relate to.
Dude, LSU and I would like set the thing. Hey, make sure, reminding myself, hey, the game, come on, make sure I watch the game. I ain't done nothing about the men's game yet.
No, it's not because I mean they're good teams, but I can't name anybody off UConn's team.
You know, me and Joe did this a couple weeks ago, and I felt bad at the start of the tournament. I was like, "Dude, how many men's college basketball players can you name?" And I was like, "They got the big dude at Purdue, Eddie something."
Yeah,
and I remember. Whereas you know, I could name a whole bunch, but I could name several women's college basketball players. So
yeah,
it's just you know, kind of fascinating how the game has changed. One last thing.
I mean, and the guys that you know, the guys that stay, is because they ain't no good. I mean, you look at the North Carolina kid who's been there 5 years, Baycock, I know his name, but he's not going to be an NBA star.
Right. No, and, you know, we'll be lucky if we see DJ Burns in the NBA because at his size, I don't know if he can make it happen in today's NBA. Did you read the Kim Mulkey story?
I did. It was nothing. It was much to do about nothing.
But whose fault is that? That's Kim Mulkey's fault. She made it into something.
Oh, yeah, she made it into something because, again, if you read the story, you know why she made it into something, because she wants to control everything around her. And she did not control the storyline. And there was nothing we didn't know. We know she's not a nice person. We know that she's loyal or not loyal, or however you want to look at it. We know she had a problem with gay players, and that's an issue. You know, she didn't know what her dad or, you know, the family members were going to say, and so she didn't have control over some of the people that were outside the purview to give their opinions on who she was. And so that's why she felt it was going to be a hexing job.
Right.
You know, and again, it's like anything, like the Vannata thing, you know, it's like, you know, the local papers in Waco and the local papers in Baton Rouge are not going to write this story.
Because they got to deal with her on a daily basis.
Because they got to deal with her. And so you're going to have a guy come in and watch the post that can research and write that story.
Yeah. I just thought it was interesting. I thought, and this is the last thing I said about it, I thought one of the things is as the women's game grows, and me and Joe talked about it a little bit, is they'll get more treatment in terms of the way the men get treated in terms of media, and it's the good and the bad. You have to accept it. If you want the growth that comes from the game and all the trappings, the money, the NIL that comes from the game, then you're going to have to take some of the BS that comes from the game, which is criticism and people writing things about you that you don't want written and digging into your background to figure out who you are and what you're all about, because that's what media does to its stars at its highest level. What do you think?
Yeah, no question about that. That's certainly that's part of it. You know, they don't treat you with kid gloves, and she's used to being treated with kid gloves because they want coverage and all that other stuff, and you grow the game. But certainly that's that double-edged sword of fame is part of it.
That's like Sam Macho saying what he said about Angel Reese the other day.
It was. I think he was wrong.
Yeah, he was.
You know, because to me,
right?
It was Manny. I think it was wrong because number one, for the people to say, well, she wasn't crying after they won, she was crying after they lost. Well, first of all, it's when you lose is when you take stock in your season. If you won, you've been prepared, you've been focused on the next game and the next hill to conquer. So you don't really have a time to get introspective on your journey. It's when your journey is over, you have no more games to play. And she was asked a question about her journey. It was after her teammates talked about her and what she meant that she reflected back. That is a time of reflection. That is a time when you can't get emotional. She was not showing regret. She was not denying who she was, but she is allowed to be emotional about her journey. And to sit up here and say, well, you can't talk the talk, and then, you know, sit up here, that's not right. That's not true. You do take stock in where you were and where you are when the season is over, when the journey is over. We have time to reflect and look back.
Well, Acho has become, in my opinion, just another – he used to be thought-provoking to me. Now he's just another television talking head who screams and tries to get attention by what he says.
Well, and he wants the attention. I mean, well, he's getting what he wants because the engagement, everybody's – you know, it's almost like Jerry Jones theory. You know, we're all talking about Acho. We're all listening to his podcast or looking at his clips because no one watches those shows. So the only way you're going to watch those shows is what you see on social media when they put it out there.
Yep.
So now people have to click.
Yeah. Yep. Anyway, man, we always appreciate you coming on. That's Clarence E. Hill Jr. Love you, man. No Diddy.
All right.
Yeah, see there. He always in the ballpark with that shit, man. Always in the ballpark, dog. What'd you say with them double entendres and shit?
He finally gets it.
They
ain't gonna wear it out.
Yeah. It's gonna get wore out.
No,
you better believe that.
No, I'm not.
He finna wear it out.
Yeah, act like you know his ass. There you go.
I know him.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Yeah, not in a biblical way. No Diddy.
Oh, my goodness. There you go. Man, I hate that I even said anything. Oh.
Nah, I'm just playing. We're just having fun, man. All right, dog. Have a good one. Yeah. That's Clancy Hill Jr. The E stands for entertaining each and every Friday on Jacques Talk. Brought to you by Smokey John's Barbecue, home of the Jam Session Bowl. It's on the secret menu. You got to know it's there. You can't just walk up and be looking on the menu for it because you won't find it. You have to know that it exists, and you know that it exists because you listen to the show, you follow us on IG and Twitter and X, all these other platforms where we talk about the Jam Session Bowl on a regular basis. Matter of fact, somebody hit me on X yesterday, and I said, Joe, a picture of it. They were talking about, hey, we just had the Jam Session Bowl at Smokey John's Barbecue, and they said it, not me, they said it was love in your mouth. And so, you know, they enjoyed it. It was good. And Jam Session Bowl, for those of you who don't know, it's a bowl with a mac and cheese base or a mashed potato base, 2 out of 5 smoked meats, and then all the stuff you find on loaded baked potato, you know, like bacon bits and chives and cheese and butter, all that good stuff, sour cream. Then they either drizzle it with sauce or drench it with sauce. It's delicious either way. It's a Jam Session Bowl. It's enough for 2 easy. You got a little shorty that's 5 or 6 to 3, y'all. I promise you can eat off of it. And everybody will be sleep coma full. That's how I wanted to say that. But this is a Jam Session Bowl. It's great. If you need some Smokey John's in your life sooner than that, you can get the rub right here or the sauce. All you got to do is go to SmokeyJohns.com, click on the marketplace on the website. You can get it sent to your crib in a couple days and enjoy it. If you got to have it before the end of the day, it says HEBs all over DFW. Waxahachie, McKinney, Allen, Burleson, Frisco out there by the Cowboys. It's everywhere. Roll out there, pick it up, throw it on your popcorn, throw it on your chick, throw it on your chicken, throw it on, not your chick, throw it on your burgers. It's all good. That's Smokey John's Barbecue, home of the Jam Session Bowl, where the food is to live for. And it is. What is it, Joe? Delicious. Gotcha. we had mentioned this topic with Clancy Hill Jr., which was your streaking Dallas Mavericks. But before I get into that, I got to tell you, dog, I am a hockey guy. I enjoy hockey. I would watch more hockey, except I'm just finna go off. I was going to save this. Okay, I'm gonna try to save it for the block if I can. I'm getting the feeling that I can't, but I'm going to try. But I got to tell you, bro, Valley just make it so hard to do stuff that, you know, I just haven't seen a lot of hockey. You know, I spent my formative years, I lived in Buffalo till I was about 8. So I grew up with the Buffalo Sabres and the great line of Rene Robert at right wing, Rick Martin at left wing, Gilbert Perreault, center iceman, also known as the French Connection, doing that thing, leading the Sabres to the Stanley Cup Finals in 1975 against the Broad Street Bullies, the Philadelphia Flyers, with Reggie Leach on one wing and Bobby Clark in the middle and Bernie Perron in center. So see, I was a hockey guy, so I like hockey. I really do. Enjoy it. Love it. But they make it so hard to watch these days, man. That being said, your Dallas Stars, man, it seemed like just a couple weeks ago, they were struggling a little bit. They'd lost 3 out of 4 or 4 out of 5 or something. But I've been peeping them lately. Have you paid any attention to the Stars?
No.
Okay, fair enough. This is all you need to know, because they got 6 games until the playoffs start. Right now, they are tied. Like, they are tied with the Boston Bruins for the best record, I mean, for the most points in the National Hockey League. I mean, think about it. They got 103, and the Bruins got 103. Boston is 44, 17, and 15. And the Stars are 48, 19, and 9. As I like to say, no one has won more games than the Stars. They got 48 wins. But here, and we talked about this with Chill, man, but I want to put it in perspective. This is why the stars are scary. Okay? Wyatt Johnson. Wyatt Johnson, y'all, is 20 years old. 20! He leads the Stars with 30 goals. 20 years old. Jason Robertson. He kind of had his breakout year last year. He ain't but 24. He got 27 goals and leads the Stars with 77 points. But the Stars right now, man, they're doing it because they got what they always seem to have. They're either first or second in the league in goals scored. And they got seven guys with 20 goals or more. And Jamie Benn is right there at 19. And that means they got line versatility. You can't shut them down. They got a lot of guys who can score. They don't have anybody with more than 30, but they got seven guys with 20 or more. And so they have very balanced offenses. That makes them hard to stop. And that's why they're going to be hard to stop in the playoffs, because they don't have that one big line where you say, okay, if we shut down this line, we can win. No, they got multiples they can throw at you. They come in waves. And they're going to be a tough out. The only thing about hockey is what? Man, that puck is crazy. And if you run into a hot goalie, I don't care how good you are, you got problems. The good thing for the Stars is Ottinger, Ottinger had a great year last year. He's been kind of mad this year. I mean, he's been good, but when the standard for him is so high to be great, and when he's good, you just kind of look at him like, come on, dog, what's up? Well, he's rounding in form, my brother. He helped him beat the Oilers last night. Oilers has third best record in the Western Conference. They beat them 5-0 at the crib. They beat Vancouver 4-1. somebody be jamming on their phone. Beat them 4-1 the night before. So not only are they playing well right now, they're beating the best teams. And so, you know, Ottinger got his second shutout in a row. The Stars have won 8 straight games. That's a franchise record. But it's not just that they won 8 straight games. Check this out. Started last night, they beat the Oilers 5-0. They beat the Coyotes 5-2. They beat the Kings 4-1. Nah, that's my that's my other list. Where is it? Oh, I'm sorry. They beat the Kraken 3-0. That's why they got consecutive shutouts. Then they beat the Canucks, who lead the Pacific Division 3-1. They beat the Sharks 6-3, Coyotes 4-2, Penguins 4-2, and Coyotes 5-2, and the Stars 4-1. I mean, the Kings 4-1. So they've been blowing folks out. They're playing great hockey right now, and they're not the team you want to play with right now. Here's the only thing. Hockey is crazy. When this first round series starts, you got to go start strong, start fast, and don't give that team no hope. You need to be up 2-0 at the crib and then go up 3-1 and then close it out 4-1 or 4-2, however it goes. That's the recipe for success. And that's a good segue into your Dallas Mavericks, man. Did you watch the Warriors game the other day, the one that they lost?
Yeah, a little bit. I just want to say that before you find me, I don't know what – I'm a professional, and my shit was on Do Not Disturb, so I don't think I should be fined for that. I don't know what happened.
Oh, you're getting fined, man. You just like you tell your kids. Hey, man, I understand you meant well, but there has to be – some kind of penance for your mistakes so that you understand not to do that again. And that's okay. So you're just going to find your game check and keep it moving on.
Yeah.
Your check will be in the mail on May 1st because we have forfeited April's check, even though it ain't arrived yet. How about that?
Yeah. No, hell no. But anyway, go ahead. When you start off just like your kids, all else after that is bullshit. But all right. Go ahead.
The Dallas Mavericks. That game the other day, man, and this is what happens if you are an experienced sports watcher. If you really understand sports, there was nothing wrong with losing that game the other day to Golden State. And here's what I mean. They played hard. They played pretty well. It was the last game, the fifth game in an 11-day road trip where they had gone West Coast to East Coast to West Coast. They had every available excuse to pack it in and not show up. And they turned them all down. And that, to me, was the most impressive thing. They was down 13, I think, in the third quarter. And they really could have said, you know what? We came out here. We put up a good fight. Warriors got the lead. We're going to take it to the crib. No. And so, to me, it's that fight that you want to see. And it's that fight that gives you hope for the playoffs. Because I'm telling you, that trade changed this team. And it's not that Gafford and P.J. Washington are stars. They're not. It just gave the Mavericks what they needed. It made them a versatile team. And somewhere in there, they found some fight. Because I don't think anybody looked at the Mavericks as a team that had a lot of fight in them. If the three-pointers were hitting, they won. If they weren't falling, they lost. And that, to me, is no longer the case. Gafford gives them something with them nasty power dunks. Because they're not very artistic when he throws them down. But they are nasty and vicious.
It's attitude, yeah.
I think that's what it is, dog. Is that what I'm trying to put my finger on?
Yeah,
attitude.
When they play like that, it says to me, and it says to me that they like playing together. You know, they like each other and they like playing together because, you know, the best way to create dysfunction is when you down by 13 and it's like, yeah, let's go home.
Yeah.
You know, when you rallying like that, that means that you like that you actually like playing with each other. It's not just a professional thing; it's a personal thing. Let's get this. Let's do this. That's good team building right there.
Right, and I think that's accurate. And I think that's why, nobody wants to lose, but the other teams are good. You're not going to win every game. The Warriors were also desperate, but you made them work. And it took some really outstanding players from the Warriors at the end to cash it out. Mavericks had a little bit of a cold streak where they missed three kind of wide open shots in a row. It's basketball. It happens. But I was much more impressed overall with their attitude, their approach. And to me, that bodes well for the playoffs. I don't think they're in position to get the fourth spot. But I do think they can nail down the fifth spot if they just keep playing this way. They're going to end the season with the Hawks, the Warriors, the Rockets, the Hornets, the Heat, the Pistons, and then the last game against the Thunder, which, you know, may or may not mean something depending on where everybody is in the playoff race. But they have a chance to put another streak together. I think of these last six games, let's look at the last five because you're not sure what's going to happen with the Thunder game. They should probably either sweep those or go 4-1. That's six games. They should either be 5-1 or 6-0 in those games based on the way they've been playing. Because they got a three-game home streak stretch against the Hawks, the Warriors, and the Rockets. They should win all three of those. And then you go to Charlotte. You should win Charlotte. The Heat could be a little tricky. They're a good team. And then you end it with the Mavericks. I mean, with the Pistons. That, to me, says 5-1. And that should be – and then we'll see what happens with Oklahoma City in the last game. 5-1, though, should be enough – to get you that fifth seed, which, you know, seemed like, damn, that's a long shot just a few weeks ago.
You can be hot in a season at the end of the season, or you can play well at the end of the season. Hot just means everything is working. When you play well, like you said, they playing together, they hustling, you know, they care about each other. It's good chemistry. You know what I'm saying? To me, that's a difference.
That's another good thing you said. It's the hustle to me. I see it. I see Luka. I've seen Luka dive on the floor more in the last 3 weeks than I've seen him do all year. Not that I've seen every game.
Yeah.
But it's that hustle to me. It's that desperation, that urgency that when he plays like that, because we all know he's an offensive dude. He's not a defensive guy. He's not necessarily a hustle guy. When he's giving you all that energy in every facet of his game, I think people just feed off that. They're like, damn, Luka got on the floor.
That means he trusts his teammates and he trusts Kyrie because he ain't got to carry the whole load. You know, Luka got to give you something every quarter, usually to win. Now he don't, you know.
Nah, it took him a while. And here's the problem, or here's the issue. We all knew, if we keep it real, it was going to take Luka and Kyrie a minute to get to figure out how to play with each other.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I was skeptical. You know, I was very skeptical of Kyrie coming here. Now I love it.
Well, I mean, from the standpoint of whatever his off the field issue or whatever his team with other issues is, it's going to take two superstars a minute to figure out how to play with each other, and so that everybody's comfortable. Because remember, when he first got here, they lost some games because they were trying to be polite. Hey, Joe, you take the last. No, Shaq, you take it, man. Joe, I insist. I took the last one. You take this one.
You had to decide,
You can't play like that. This just got to be, hey, here's how we playing. Well, now they really understand how to play. You can tell from the substitution patterns. You know, Kid gives Luka off the start of the fourth quarter. Kyrie said, okay, it's my time to cook. Luka coming back with about 6 minutes left. I'm going to take 2 minutes off. I'm going to come back with four, and then we're going to close it out with us both on the court these last 4 or 5 minutes. Something like that.
I thought it would be a problem with them on the court because they both ball dominant, but I forgot. You know, it's easy to forget with all the stuff surrounding Kyrie that he was off the ball in Cleveland.
With LeBron.
And he played just fine. So, you know, you're right. They had to get together off the, you know, he had to get stuff together off the court. Man, it's a beautiful thing right now. Watch them two dudes play together.
No, they're playing really good basketball, and I think it's clear that they enjoy playing with each other, that they got a lot of respect for each other. And all that matters when you're trying to win games against other equally talented teams. It's those intangibles that matter. The only downside is Derek Lively is out with a bruised knee. He may miss a couple of weeks, which will mean 4 or 5 games. That's part of the reason why they lost to the Warriors, because the bench got outscored something like 31-13.
Yeah.
They got to get more from the bench. I don't know how that is because, I mean, it ain't like Dwight Powell finna come in here and average, you know, 10 points and 6 rebounds. So I don't know how they survived that. But, you know, every team got injuries. Every team got issues. Don't nobody want to hear about them. But the Mavericks and the Stars are both streaking and rolling as we head into the postseason, and that means good times for us. Now let's take a trip around the block, bro, so I can get this off my chest. I'm gonna bitch and moan and complain right now. I try not to do that too often. I really do. But I was exasperated with Bally's the other day, man. Bally's Southwest. Like, I didn't want to spend no money on them from the rip. And I refuse to spend. I go with them month by month. I added them in December for what? I was Mavericks. Out of town. What'd you say?
I thought you added them for the Mavericks, right?
No, in December I added them.
Okay.
And I added them because my son and I were in Buffalo for the Bills game, and it was the same day that the state high school championship games were going on, and we wanted to watch them. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna get the package for the month, and then we can watch the games. And it worked pretty good, wasn't perfect. And then with a couple of months left in the basketball season, that's when I added the package. I said, hey, the playoffs are coming up for Stars and Mavericks, and then the Rangers are gonna get started. And so I need to watch the Mavericks so I know what I'm talking about come playoffs. So got the package. I also wanted to watch the Rangers when they were starting. Dude, I tried to watch the Rangers game the other day, man, and I couldn't get it. And now I'm mad. So I keep trying, and I can't get it. And I'm checking out all my stuff on Bally's. I'm like, I can't remember. Did I end the subscription already? Maybe that's the problem. Nope, still got the subscription. And I never could. And then something popped up that said, oh, you don't have access to the Rangers, just the Mavericks and the Stars. Wow. I'm like, what kind of sense do that make? And so I got so frustrated, I was like, you know what? Bunk this. Although I said another word. And then I canceled my subscription right then. I said, I'm just not going to do this with y'all, man. They had some of the worst service ever, and then you can't find nobody. And, you know, I hate these automated things. I had this problem last week with something else I was dealing with. At some point, can I talk to a person? Just, I mean, all this punch this button and this, but I need to talk to somebody.
Yeah, yeah, the chat, everything the chat don't box fit. And all yeah, that. Yeah, dog. Man, I get tired of it.
Everything don't fit into the cookie cutter thing. Sometimes you need to talk to somebody and say, this is my particular issue that I need solved.
Yeah.
And they couldn't do it, so they lost my business. I was like, bump this. Okay, I like, F that. I'm through with it. And I hope to gosh that they get this thing figured out, man, because they are the worst. All right? Just the absolute worst.
Well, I don't understand. I don't understand how such a raggedy-ass company can be associated with professional sports. You know, that's supposed to be the best thing.
Now, I don't know this for a fact. I think it's because at one time, they weren't a raggedy-ass company. There was a good company. Maybe they got new management. Maybe some of their key players left. They got hired by other companies. I don't know. All I know is right now, they ain't worth two dead flies pushed together.
Pushed together. James Donaldson.
Ray Donaldson.
Ray Donaldson. James Donaldson was the center. All right.
Yeah, they just not worth anything.
Both of them were centers.
Not worth a damn.
Yeah.
So, you know, so it's very frustrating. Here's the only good thing for me about it. When the playoffs start, we don't need ballots. Okay?
Right.
Because all the games be on national TV. Now, you just had to decide. I mean, and you're going to stay up late to watch them anyway. So you just had to stay up. But they're going to be on networks, and so you can get them all. That doesn't help with the Rangers. So now this is just my suggestion to y'all. If you are tired of ballots, and I can't imagine that you're not, and I don't do this very often, but I'm going to do it now. The MLB app, for I think it's $3.99 a month, is fantastic. Now, I don't say that about very many sports apps. It's fantastic. There might be another additional charge if you want the audio so that you can listen to the Rangers games with Eric Nadell and Matt, who are both, and Jared Sandler, who are all terrific. I mean, they really are. But the app is fantastic. It gives you, like, pitch by pitch. Tells you everything you want to know about the pitch, from the speed, you know, to anything you would want to know about the pitch. It'll tell you. You look the stats up. They have a little batter in there, so it's got some graphics. But here's the thing. As you're watching the game, whenever there's a key play, whether it's somebody made a terrific play on defense or somebody had a big hit, whether it's a run scoring hit or whatever, somebody made a great catch, they'll put the highlight in like within 2 or 3 minutes. And so you can literally follow the game on your phone or your iPad and see the key highlights. And you're like, oh, damn, they watched the game even though it wasn't on. And so it's the best alternative I've seen to watching a game live. And then after a certain point, they'll put up the condensed version of the game. And so if you're like me and you just want to go back and watch it, you can get up the next morning, watch the whole game if that's what you choose to do in about, I don't know, probably about 20 minutes, 25 minutes. Mm. Or they got this thing called the wrap, which they do about, I don't know, 30 minutes to an hour after the game, that tells you, they literally in about a 2.5 minute package shows you all the key stats and all the key plays. And you can watch that probably 20 or 30 minutes after the game, something like that. Anyway, the MLB app is a great alternative to this BS that Bally's got going on.
Okay, that's all golden right there. I like that.
Yeah, because it's so you can't find the games.
Well,
so we got to talk about alternatives because, you know, the Bally's and their app, they just poop to me, dog.
Well, for us people, for the casual fan, Ranger fan, that want to become more of a Ranger fan,
yeah,
that's good shit right there because, you know, we got to be able to catch the game.
Yeah.
You know?
No,
it's like back in the day, listening to the game while you doing something else.
Exactly.
You know, listening to it. Hey, I'm doing this right here. I'm working on this right here. I got the headphones on the lawnmower, and I'm listening to the game. I mean, I remember my grandpa used to sit in the backyard and do a lot of stuff, productive stuff. Me included, while we listen to the Ranger game.
No, man, I do that now because I do a lot of multitasking while I'm researching this book project that I'm working on.
So. Roger that.
So it keeps my mind, it gives me something to do because research is somewhat monotonous. and so it allows me to keep my mind occupied a little bit. I sent you a text this morning to say, Apple got me, did it get you? You know, I have a love-hate relationship with Apple and Apple products. Like, I love Apple products. I love the phone. I done had in my lifetime, I done probably had, I'm not even exaggerating, man, probably 10 different iPads. I loved them because you could be on your phone and the information is up to the second on your iPad. And if you had a MacBook, which I had for a long time, it'd be up to the second on the MacBook. So you can go from device to device to device and everything's the same. And you can work like that if you're like me. And I thought it was great. But Apple is also about some bullshit, you know, in terms of their accessories. Like, how mad did you get when you had everybody had five phone cords to all your phones, and then they came up with the, oh, now every phone works off the USB-C. So now all those chargers you got, those are no longer, I mean, they ain't worth nothing.
Yeah, that's a problem. You know? Definitely a problem.
Or how about this? You have to get the updates, because if you don't get the updates after a certain point, your phone won't work. They make you do this. And then sometimes they change the inner workings of the phone every now, every so often, that you damn near got to get another phone for your phone to work properly. They're making you do it, even if it's, even if you don't know that they're making you do it. And I read recently that there's some kind of class action lawsuit involving that. But the thing that got me yesterday, man, I got about four or five chargers. And I'm like a lot of people. I got sick of paying $30 for a cable to charge my phone. I said, I'm going on Amazon, get six cables for $8. And I always have a cable and they work. But this is what I noticed. They don't charge your phone as fast. And two, when you get these arbitrary cables, they just stop working sometimes just because they ain't worth a damn. And so yesterday, man, I'm mad because I literally had five phone cables in my house, dog. None of them were working. My phone was staying on 3%, 4%, 5%, and 6% because I could never get it charged long enough to do anything. And so, dog, I made that run, man. I sadly drove to Target and plunked down $35 for a damn phone charger.
What?
Just the cable, man. Not even the block. Just the cable.
The FireWire is not working for you or something?
Nah, man.
And then, or the lightning wire, whatever they call it. Nah, the chargers are not working. You had to pay $35. Why?
Yeah, because the ones I keep getting off of Amazon for cheap don't work long.
Oh, they don't. Yeah, we talked about
They're unreliable.
You got to have that badass charger for your iPhone. I can't complain about Apple too much because I came over from Android, and Android, for all the things I do with my iPads and stuff like that, like my drones and stuff, with Android, I had to download 50 drivers to get stuff to work.
Right.
Well, with Apple, it's maybe one update, boom, and I'm flying. I'm doing whatever I want to do.
Right.
And then the way you integrate everything, the MacBook, I have a MacBook Pro. MacBook, iPad, phone, all of that stuff. It works pretty good. I don't know. Yeah. Like you said, the accessories and stuff.
Well, the functionality is fantastic, but them accessories, they just be killing you, man.
Yeah, the charger. But yeah.
I keep telling you, I was bitching and moaning about it, but guess what? I put that new cable on there, and my phone went from 0% to 75% in about 18 minutes. With that BS cable I got on Amazon, it would take about 45 minutes for it to go that far. Maybe a little bit longer. So it's a faster, better cord. And, you know, I bitched and moaned the whole time. But, you know, something you just need. It's like, I try not to do this because to me, it's like bitching and moaning about how much gas costs. It don't matter. You need gas.
It depends on what you drive. When I had my dually, people say, hey, man, is the fuel cost high? I said, if you worried about fuel costs, don't drive a dually.
No, you're right. You know who else finds that out, man? My son. his car was in the shop, and he was driving his mother's Escalade for about a month.
Oh, yeah.
And about a week and a half into it, he called me up. Dad, why is one gas like $3.90 and the other gas is like $3.20? Hey, man, you want all them luxury cars? You told me you want this, you want that.
Yeah.
Luxury cars require luxury gas, my son.
Yeah.
He's like, this is crazy. I said, hey, man, now you know.
Yeah.
And that's the difference between premium and regular, my friend.
Oh, yeah.
I said, why you think I got a Honda Accord all this time, Doc? Yeah. because of those gas prices. But that was me bitching and moaning about my accessories on my Apple stuff, because I spent about $80 yesterday. And I was sad that I had to spend it just to get some damn cords and chargers. But that's life in the big city, man.
Yeah, once you do it, it's done. But yeah, those cheap ones don't work that well.
I literally got five or six of them around the house, and none of them was working.
Yeah.
None of them. And
I
was dropping F-bombs like I was over a foreign country yesterday.
Yeah, I bought some AirPods here recently. And my daughter talked me into it, and they pretty cool. I lost one. One fell out of my ear yesterday.
Right.
Man, I must have kicked that thing all over the kitchen. I got the locator, and it was like, you right on top of it. Man, where the hell is it? Then I played the little sound.
Damn.
Well, I'm just saying, I finally found it, but you did the locator, and it was like, it was a game if I would. It would be a fun game if I wasn't so damn frustrated. You know, because that's my biggest fear, losing them damn things. And hell, I look for it so hard, I actually kicked it under something.
No, so. I feel you on that.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
That's week's trip. That's our trip around the block this week. What was I going to say? Oh, I know what I was going to say. This has been big in the news lately, but if you're ever involved in an accident, it's not your fault. Any kind of commercial vehicle. You know, it doesn't just have to be like an 18-wheeler. It could be anybody's commercial vehicle. If you're involved in an accident, somebody else's negligence has caused you some harm, what you got to do pronto, like ASAP, pick up the phone, call 972-934-8900, and when they pick up, you just say, hey, here's my situation. Here's the details. What do you think? And I'm telling you, that phone call, which don't cost nothing, could change your life. Real talk. Because if Greening Law brings you on as a client, it's the best news you'll ever get. And here's why. They handle everything from start to finish. Why? They want you focused on two things, healing and renewal. Get your mind right, get your body right, get your life back. That's really what they want you focused on. And to make sure that happens, they take care of everything. When I say everything, I mean everything. So you need a doctor, they got you. Set up the appointment, you go there. You need a chiropractor, they got you. Set up the appointment, you go there. You need a specialist. They got you. They set up the appointment. You go there. I mean, it don't really get no simpler than that. All right? Remember, I just told y'all, consultation is free. Here's the other kicker. They don't get paid unless you get paid. I said, they don't get paid unless you get paid. It doesn't work out any better than that. So you don't ever have to wonder, where do I fit on the priority list? How big am I a client? Am I important? Am I not important? Am I top of the list? Bottom of the list? No, you at the top. Because they ain't getting paid unless you get paid. So, Greening Law, it's a place to call. If you're ever involved in some kind of accident that's not your fault, somebody else's negligence has caused you some harm, call Greening Law, 972-934-8900. Let them help you. They're ride or die. They walk you through the process. Because the process can be long. It can be intimidating. It can be scary. It can be frustrating. All of that stuff, man. But Greening Law walks you through it, step by step by step. You're never alone. They got the flashlight to tell you when to run, when to walk, when to slow down, when to turn left, when to turn right. They handle all of that. All you literally have to do is follow the directions that Robert Greening and the Green Team provides. Do that, and it's a good day for you. So that's Greening Law. We also can't do the show without my friends at Smokey John's Barbecue, 1820. West Mockingbird. Remember, you can always follow the show. What we need to do, we may make it, we got about another week and a half, 2 weeks before we tell you what's coming down in May. It's a big deal. Go check out the YouTube channel, The Real Jot Talk. Subscribe, leave a review, and tell us you love us, please. We'd appreciate that. You can also follow the show on IG at The Real Jacques Talk. You can find me on Twitter, X, whatever we're calling it these days, at JJT Journalist. I am Jean-Jacques Taylor is the handle. Don't forget, if you think you follow me, you probably don't, because my account was deleted, taken over. Somebody stole it. It's a long story that I need to get in and tell y'all one of these days. Hey, go download Clapper, similar to TikTok. I just got a notification from Clapper. See, they be listening. That's where you can find a lot of my Cowboys content, do videos over there. I am Jean-Jacques Taylor's the handle on Clapper. It's very similar to TikTok, similar platform. That's where all the cool kids are these days. So follow me on Clapper. I am Jean-Jacques Taylor. For Big Joe and the Big Rig, until we chat again, you guys be blessed.